some 4,000 or so years ago, when God called Abraham to leave the city that he was dwelling in and to leave his family behind, to go to another country, he did so for a reason. Come back with me, if you would, if you've still got your Bibles open in Genesis, but let's go back to Genesis chapter 12. For there, God, when calling him, tells him what he wants him to do. Genesis chapter 12, and verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So God not only calls him, but he also tells him what he's going to do if he listens to what God is wanting him to do, if he's going to be obedient to God's voice. And he said that he was going to give him a blessing. He'd make his name great. Be a great nation that would be descended from him. Even at that time he had no children at all. He would make his name great. And through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And what a promise that was from God. Calling him out of the city where he was. And if you go and do this, Abraham, then I will do all this for you. And in verse 4, well, not only just for you, but also to you. And in verse 4 we see Abram's response. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took his Sarah his son, his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance, and they went into the land of Canaan. So Abram was 75 years old when he left the city where he was dwelling to go to the land of Canaan, the land that we now know as the land of Israel, because God had asked him to go. We find out a little later, and we can't go through all the history and the life of Abram this afternoon, but we find a little later that although he took Lot out with him from that city, they too had to separate one from the other because of a strife between their herdsmen, which we can read in chapter 13. But once that had taken place, in verse 14 of Genesis 13, God speaks to Abram again. The Lord said unto Abram, after the lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed for ever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. And in verse 17, God invites him to go and just walk throughout that land, because he was going to give him that land. So again, he was giving him another promise, because now he'd been obedient to God's commandments and he'd come away from the city where he had been dwelling. He's now promising him the very land where he was dwelling at the time. And again, that he's going to have this vast descendants coming from him like the dust upon the earth. But he still had no seed. He had no family of his own. But still he believed God, that God would do the things for him. So if we move into chapter 15 of Genesis, we see that God speaks to him yet again. God speaking to this man quite a few times in his life. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So God was now having seen that Abram was responding to his requests. God said he's going to reward him, and he's going to be a shield, he's going to look after him. But particularly he's going to reward him because he's been faithful to God's commandments. But now, as far as Abram was concerned, there was a slight problem in getting a reward. Verse 2, Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. I've got no children. There's only one steward in my house who will inherit everything that I'd got. And Abraham and Sarai were old people. The likelihood of having children had all but gone. And so this Eliezer was going to inherit everything that Abraham possessed. So what was the point in God giving him an exceeding great reward, because he had no children to pass it on to? But verse 4, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. This Eliezer isn't going to be the one who's going to inherit your goods, Abraham. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. It was Abraham, even though you're an old man now, you're still going to have a child. Someone who's going to be born from you, who's going to be your heir. And he brought him forth, verse 5, abroad, and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if they'll be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And I'm sure we've all looked up on a starry night, haven't we, to see the vast number of stars in the sky. And that's what God was telling Abraham to do here, to look up into the sky and see the magnificent amount of stars in the sky. And as he looked up and probably even marvelled at those numbers, God said to him, your seed, Abraham, is going to be just like that. And in verse 6, he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. So even though he'd got no children, he believed that God would do what he said. Such was the faith of Abraham. Keep your finger in Genesis, because we're going to come back there in just a few moments. But let's go forward into the New Testament, into Romans chapter 4. For picking up on this incident, Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul expands what's going on at that time in Abraham's life. Going to verse 18, he said, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So when God spoke to him and said, Abraham, your seed is going to be like the stars of the heavens, he had hope. He believed in that hope, that he might become the father of many nations. And verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So when God promised him, he didn't say, well, that's impossible because I've passed the age of having children. He didn't stagger at the promise that God made to him. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and verse 21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So this God who had called him out of Ur to go into this land that he was now dwelling in, he believed was able to fulfill the promises that he had made to him. That's the type of person that Abraham was. A man of great faith in God. And I think that's very important for us to remember, because we'll be coming back to that a little later on. But Abraham was a man of faith, and because he had that sort of faith in God is the reason why he called him in the first place, which again I think we'll pick up that a little later on. So let's go back to Genesis. Let's go back now to chapter 17, when again God speaks to Abram. Verse 1 of Genesis 17. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. So you know, he promises him not to be just have one nation, but he's going to be a father of many nations. And as a token of that, he continues in verse 5 that he was going to change his name from Abram to Abraham. For in the end of verse 5 he says, I'm a father of many nations, have I made thee. So God promising that now he's going to have many nations coming from him, and his seed will still possess the land of Canaan, which we could read in verse 8. So now he's also had a name change. So some of the promises are similar to what God has already made to him, but now also he's had an extension to that promise. Well, eventually Abraham does have a son. First of all, he has Ishmael with Hagar, and then when he's about 100 years old, Isaac was born to him by his wife Sarah. So the first step of the promise that God had made had now been fulfilled. But in that chapter which we had read at the beginning, as Isaac grew up, Abraham was told by God to go and kill him, to make a sacrifice of him. Again, we saw it in the first few verses of that chapter, how God calls Abraham in verse 1 and tells him in verse 2 to take his son, his only son Isaac, who he loved, and to take him to the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering up on one of the mountains. And even though Abraham, it was his only son, and now he was obviously even older, and he loved that son, we find in verse 3 that Abraham again did as God commanded. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and they went to that place which God had told him of. And again, as we just read a few moments ago, he then goes to kill that son that God had given him in his old age because God had commanded him to do it. We'll again see a bit later on that he knew that because God had promised him so many things, that if he did kill this son, then God would do something about it. Because God had already promised him things and God would fulfill those promises, presumably God would have to raise him from the dead. And that's probably quite something in the days of Abraham, to think that God would raise somebody from the dead. Because he would never have even heard or even experienced someone being raised from the dead. But yet he still believed in God. And so he was prepared to kill Isaac. But as we read earlier, he was stopped from doing that. The angel came to Abraham and he stopped him from killing that son. But then in verse 15, we see that the angel comes again to Abraham and said in verse 16, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply the seed multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So again, God makes some more promises to Abraham, giving him more blessings. This time, not only would he have that seed which would be large in number, like the stars in the heaven or the sand upon the sea, but that seed would possess the gate of his enemies. In other words, he'd have dominion over his enemies. And through that seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And all this recorded is because thou hast obeyed my voice. So every time God had told him to do something, he'd gone and done it. Such was this man. And again, just keeping a finger in Genesis, let's go now forward to James. James chapter 2. because James picks this up. James chapter 2 and verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So because he had been so faithful to God's commandments, God saw Abraham as his friend. He was the friend of God, all because he trusted in God and he believed those things which God had spoken to him. And so five times now Abraham has been given a promise by God that his name would be great. He had his name changed to Abraham so that he could be a father of many nations. God would make of him a great nation. His seed would be like the dust of the earth, or the sand upon the seashore, or the stars in heaven for multitude. His seed would possess the gate of his enemies. They would possess the land of Canaan. And through that seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Yes, he had a vast amount of promises made to him by God, because he obeyed God's voice, because he was the friend of God. Yet despite all that, despite all those blessings, he died not really benefiting from the promises that God made to him. Yes, he now has a reasonable vast number of people who have descended from him. Yet his seed do not possess the gate of their enemies. And certainly all the nations of the earth aren't blessed through Abraham. Yet God has promised that that would happen. And he intends to fulfill those promises that he has made to this friend that he pulled and called out of the earth of the Chaldees. And we can see how he's going to do it if we go to Galatians and chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So when God was promising Abraham a seed who would possess the gate of his enemies, the seed through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed, he wasn't talking of that seed which was that multitudinous seed, that vast seed which would come from him, but it was one seed, one person in particular he was talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed, the one who would possess the gate of his enemies. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So, and if we go to verse 13, we can see there that Christ hath redeemed us, and he's speaking now to non-Jewish people. He says, Christ hath redeemed us through a curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So that blessing, the writer here to Galatians is saying, is now not just to Abraham and his immediate family, but it is being extended through Jesus to non-Jews, to all the nations of the world being blessed that we'd spoken of earlier. And in fact, if we go back to verse 6, we can see there that that is the case. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen or the Gentiles through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So God had made that promise, he says, to Abraham, because he knew he would be able to fulfill it, that through this one seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, many people would be able to inherit those promises which he had made. There'd be many faithful men and women in all the nations of the earth who would be faithful to him, who could also have their faith counted to them for righteousness. And if we go to verse 26 of that chapter, we see there, again, the Apostle Paul, when writing to these believers at Galatia, he says, "Know ye, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Abraham, if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." So he is speaking to people who were non-Jews, but those who have been baptized into Christ. He says, whether they're Jew or Greek, whether they are bond or free, whether male or female, it doesn't really matter. They're in Jesus, in this one seed that had been promised to Abraham, that anybody can inherit those promises which have been made to Abraham. So that, like Abraham, he's saying, really, they too can become the friends of God, just as Abraham was the friend of God. Through faith in Jesus, we too here today can be called like Abraham. And if we are faithful like him, we can share in the same promises. And if we go to Acts chapter 17, we can see the almost to some extent how we now can inherit and share in those promises. And it's to do with what this seed that had been promised to Abraham is going to do upon this earth. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. And here the Apostle Paul is at Athens, speaking to them about how ignorant they were of God's laws and God's ways. And then in verse 30, he says this to them. He says, "The time of their ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." So he says, this seed that had been promised to Abraham, when he came out of Ur, was wandering in the land of Canaan, is going to come back to this earth to judge it in righteousness. And if one is a judge of the world, to be able to judge it in righteousness, then by default he has dominion over the earth. You can't judge someone that you don't have dominion over. He now will obviously have power to mete out the judgment that he passes upon the earth. So again, fulfilling some of the promises made to Abraham so long ago, when God said he would have dominion over his enemies. And if we can move forward in the New Testament to the 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1, again we get another insight into this time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. And the apostle here, when writing to other believers, other non-Jewish people who have been baptized into Jesus, he said, "To you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Yes, he says he's going to come to judge this world in righteousness, and he's going to be like a flaming fire. He'll be taking vengeance on them that know not God. They will be destroyed, they'll be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of God. But he also does that when in verse 10 when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe in that day. So he comes to do two things. He will take vengeance on those who do not believe, but he will also be glorified in those who, can say, are a bit like Abraham, who have believed God. Those who now are classed as his children. Those who have also been called and have responded like Abraham in faith to God's commandment. And they will be glorified in that day. We haven't got time to go there now, but in Daniel chapter 2, God, again, this time giving a vision of the future to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He says there what God is going to do upon this earth. And in verse 44, he says there that he will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So through this one seed that had been promised to Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to become to pass a worldwide kingdom upon this earth. A kingdom which will break in pieces and consume all the other kingdoms, destroy his enemies, have dominion over them, and he will set up his own kingdom, a kingdom which will last forever. And that was promised to Abraham. Keep saying, but because he obeyed God's commandment and did just as God wanted him in his daily life. And now by God's grace, we can have the opportunity of also being, first of all, faithful to God, to respond to the things that he has asked us to do, be baptized into Christ, and to live a life as best we can that pleases him, to sow that same reliance upon him that Abraham did, so that we too may then in that day be amongst those who will be classed as his saints in that day. If we go back to John chapter 15, Jesus refers to people who believe in him in a very similar way to what Abraham was referred to because he trusted in God. John chapter 15 and verse 13. Jesus here says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye, he says, are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things have I heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and so on and so forth. So those who trust in him, he says, he will class them as his friends, just as God called Abraham his friend because he obeyed. So as God called Abraham, called his friend out of, as it were, came out of the world, out of the earth of the Chaldees, and took him into that land and gave him all those promises, so Jesus is really saying the same for us here today. We are being called out of the world. We too are being called to respond like Abraham. And if we do, then we too will be classed as his friends. If we go to Hebrews chapter 11. Again, we just tying up a few of these things that we've been thinking about. In Hebrews chapter 11, a chapter of details many faithful men and women, and we said earlier that he believed in God. Abraham believed in God, and he believed that if God had told him to kill Isaac, then he would raise him from the dead. Well, verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 11, he's talking here of Abraham. He says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So it was his faith in God that made him go and was to go and take the life of that son who had had all the promises through. And why? Well, verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So Abraham believed that God would raise him, bring him back to life, if he put him to death at God's commandment. Such was his faith in God. Well, verse 8 says a bit more about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So he just wandered around, not enjoying the benefits, as it were, of this world. 4 verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So he was looking, because God had called him and God had made the promises, he was looking for something far better than he could have got in this world. He was prepared to obey God's voice because he called him, because he promised him that better future. But as we said earlier, he died without receiving those promises. Well, that's exactly what verse 13 says. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So yes, in his lifetime, he could see those promises that God had made, and he could see he wasn't going to receive them there and then. He saw them, as it were, afar off, in the distance. He knew that one day he would get there, but probably not in his lifetime. And he confessed with others that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. But he didn't fully give up. For verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they should seek a country. And truly, if they'd been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. So he could have gone back. He could have ignored the calling of God. He could have, as it were, cut the friendship. And he could have gone back to the earth of the calling, back to the life that he was living before. But he didn't do so. For verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So God had prepared him something, and he knew that one day God would give him that which he had prepared for him. Because God had called him and given him all those promises, he had the faith that God would fulfill those promises. And he will get it when that one seed that had been promised to him, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns to this earth to set up that kingdom. And if we go to verse 39, we can see, I think, one of the reasons why he didn't get it in his own lifetime. Because having now listed a load more people who were faithful to God after the time of Abraham, again in verse 39 it says, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. So now many, many more people have been promised things by God. They too have been, as it were, called by God, and they were also his friends. But they too did not receive the promise. And the reason being, verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So God was waiting for other people also to be called and to respond to his calling. He wants us here today. God wants as many as possible to inherit those promises, to share in that time that he has promised will be set up upon this earth, that Abraham will be at that time. He wants that family, as it were, to be as big as possible, so that many, many people will be able to share in that time and to glorify his great and holy name in that kingdom. But the onus is on us, just as it was on Abraham as individuals as to whether we'll be part of that time or not. Abram was called and he responded. We too have been called. We too have to make up our minds whether we are going to respond. We're told in the 2 Peter that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God would like everyone to be part of that family. He'd want everybody to inherit those promises that he'd made so long ago to his friend. But the onus is upon everyone as an individual whether they will be able to inherit those promises. And so it may be that we so live our life now that we may try and show that same faith that Abraham had, that we may associate ourselves with that seed of his, the Lord Jesus Christ, through baptism, that when he does return, he may be willing to count our faith as righteousness to us, just as Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness, that we may then be part of Abraham's seed, that we may inherit those promises that God made to him, that we may inherit that kingdom which will be set up upon this earth, and that we may live in God's kingdom throughout the ages of eternity.